Hey, this is John Campbell from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talk To Me, the guy that won't quit sending me dick pics.
This is Talk To Me. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
A New Life Begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
Welcome into another episode of Talk To Me. I am your host, Joshua Toomey, and joining me this week is John Campbell, bassist of Lamb of God. They have a great new album out June 19th, entitled Lamb of God. It is a self-titled album, and make sure you are checking out all of the songs that are out now, and make sure you are pre-ordering the album so you can get it as soon as it comes out. It was a quick chat with John today, so I wanted to go ahead and get it out. It's got some topical things in there. We talk about the civil unrest in the world today, things like that. So I wanted to go ahead and get it out to you. And before we get into some Lamb of God, let's just make sure to get some business out of the way. Let's make sure you guys are heading over to your podcast app, hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the Talk To Me podcast. It would be nice if you leave a nice five-star rating, nice five-star review, and let your friends know that you are listening to the show. Huge thank you to Blabbermouth and all of the great websites that picked up last week's episode with John Paul Gaster of Clutch. That was a fun interview. Make sure you're going back to last week's episode and checking that one out also. So we kind of start the episode off talking about the latest single featuring Chuck Billy from Testament. This song is called Roots, or Routes, however you want to say it, off of the upcoming Lamb of God album, self-titled album. So let's check out Roots. Let's talk to John Campbell. And then I will talk to you momentarily.
I'm
right, guys, let's welcome John Campbell from the great Lamb of God to the Talk to Me podcast. John, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on, man. Are you being safe? Are you, no riots in your streets today?
Not specifically in my streets, but in my town, in my city, absolutely there are riots. We in Richmond, Virginia, have somewhere called Monument Avenue, which is a bunch of Confederate generals statues up on Monument Avenue that were. I was going to say defaced, but I think value was added to their face. there's been some stupid violence, a lot of it by the police, from what I've been reading. It's terrible all over the country, all over the world, but that's kind of what we get.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed listening to the tracks that are out from the new album, I know that they were written obviously way before any of this stuff was going on, but even the song, is it Roots or Routes? I don't know which way it is.
I guess it depends on where you live in the country.
Right, or, England or whatever. But the song featuring Chuck Billy, which is based kind of on the pipeline there in North Dakota, but now, you kind of listen to it today and you're like, I've come to stand with you, could be taken a different way, standing with their African-American brethren.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's great. I don't want to pat myself or Randy on the back too hard on this, but when lyrics are great, they can be used, they can be applied to other situations metaphorically, yeah, rather than what they are specifically written for.
Now, saying that, do you write lyrics with Randy, or is it just you didn't want to pat the band on the back?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I do not write lyrics with Randy. I have over the years made suggestions here and there of just ideas that have popped in my head, but that is very rare, and I can't say that they were ever acted upon.
when it comes to you learning the lyrics as I guess as we do too, when you get into dive into Randy's lyrics, are you just like, man, where does some of this stuff come from? What's going on in Randy's head?
I've known Randy since 1990. I know where this comes from, and we are all of, I don't want to say we're all of one mind, but we all lean in the same direction, and I would say agree with the theme of his lyrics. And I think he's developed incredibly over the years as a writer and a performer.
Yeah, he's an all around artist. The photography, just to be able to sit down and type out some of the stuff, even just for an Instagram post, and you're just like, man, you just wasted all those words on an Instagram post.
take the beer bottle out of his hand, and the dude actually has some really amazing things to contribute to society.
The new album, self-titled album, be out June 19th on Epic. Is there a symbolism behind the self-titled? I know a lot of bands talk about a new beginning and things like that, and maybe that.
No, I wouldn't say it's a new beginning as much of as a statement of who we are. Mm-hmm. In the moment, this is Lamb of God, and we're incredibly proud of this collection of music we put together, and think that it's incredibly strong and very representative of Lamb of God.
When it comes to listeners of the show know that I am a bass player, so I'll ask you some bass nerd questions. But when it comes to a band like Lamb of God, you've got kind of one of two choices to go. You're going to follow the riff, or you're going to kind of just lay down the foundation. And how do you go about doing that?
Follow the riff. God, I love riffing. It's so fun. It is so fun to play these riffs, that maybe even to my detriment, I follow the riff, but what I try to do is maintain it in an octave, the low octave,
right,
which can create some acrobatic moves and some interesting melodies. I don't know if it would be melody at the same octave. I'm not studied in music, so I hope none of your music nerds just are screaming at me now, that's not melody. It has an interesting dynamic to the music. There are parts that call for locking in tight on a bass drum, but a lot of times that bass drum's already locked in tight with the riff.
Right.
We are a band of riffs.
Yes, you are, and a very good band of riffs. Very, very prolific riffing there at the Lamb of God camp. Obviously the new guy in the band, Art Cruz, spent years playing the songs, but now he gets a chance to write parts to new songs. And you being in the rhythm section, how did you feel about that? And how did he come together with you in all of that?
I feel great about it. I have an immense amount of respect for Art and his drumming. And there are parts where we would stop and talk about how we were locking in, and there are parts where there's parts I was locking in on. He's like, "Hey, man, what if you just like didn't do that and did this?" Like, I'm very, very open to his ideas. I respect his creativity, his drumming, and his energy. He's a great addition to the band.
Was it nice to kind of have somebody after all of these years kind of come in from the outside and be like, you know, we need to sound like Lamb of God, or this sounds like Lamb of God, that doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he didn't come in like that. I mean, we are Lamb of God, and we know what we sound like. But yes, it's a breath of fresh air. It's like a lot of this stuff is new and exciting to him, shit that we've done enough times that I don't want to say we're getting jaded, but the novelty has worn off. And to see him engage in things that we do in that way is exciting. It kind of brings the freshness back in a lot of ways. And on top of that, he's an amazing dude. He's a great dude to hang out with, to just be part of our organization. The universe has been very kind to us with Art Cruz.
With being a bass player, there's some bass players that were guitar players that out of necessity became bass players, or people that grew up actually wanting to be bass players. Which are you?
I wanted to play drums.
Oh, nice.
And I started playing drums on a friend of mine's kit with his two roommates because he knew how to play drums. His roommates were playing guitar and bass and really didn't know what they were doing, and I had no idea what I was doing on drums. So I would go over to their house and play in my friend's kit with his roommates. And that went on for a couple months, and then the bass player was going to take off for the summer, and my friend was sick of hearing his drums get played very badly, as well as the guitar and bass. And I've showed up to play, and he's like, "Hey, man, dude's gone for the summer. Why don't you play bass? I'll play my drums." Okay. And then it went from there.
Nice. I have
a bunch of instruments. I wouldn't call myself a multi-instrumentalist because I can't even say the word, but I enjoy playing many different instruments.
Yeah, I remember my dad's friends had a cover band, and I wanted to be the drummer so bad. And when I showed up to the rehearsal, the drummer was left-handed, so I was like, "Damn it!" So the bass player handed me his bass, and I just sat there hitting the low E for God knows how long, and I'm like, "All right, I'm sold."
That's great. I can actually play a left-handed kit from playing drums in the while I drive, which is probably a terrible thing to do, but I've developed my
ambidextry
I've got to use my right foot for the gas.
Growing up, you know, were there bass players, you know, what bass players do you kind of idolize and look back on? Is it a Cliff or those guys?
I get asked this quite a bit, and really the person who's probably the most influential in my early days of playing music was a guy named Mike Bishop from Richmond, Virginia. He was in Gwar.
Okay.
And then he was in Keypone, and now he is back in Gwar as the singer. Dude is a phenomenal bass player. It's ridiculous. Turns out a really good singer as well.
I recently went down the rabbit hole of David Ellefson's bass playing and actually like started to attempt to play his bass lines. And I don't know where I missed the David Ellefson train, but oh my God, what amazing bass player, and he just makes it look so easy. He's just like, here's how you play Holy Wars. And he just goes off.
Yeah, Holy Wars. I've learned how to play the beginning of that just because it's such a cool riff. And Go the fuck on, Dave Ellison. You're a bad motherfucker.
And then I'll just kind of go right into, you know, how bummed are you that the tour is either canceled or postponed at this point?
Incredibly bummed. And this is, I mean, I know I'm not alone, that the world has had their lives turned upside down.
Yeah.
But this is, it's killing me. I cannot wait to get back on stage for myself, but also meaning that the world is back in a space where it's safe to do so.
That was one band or one bill that came out for the summer that was just stacked from top to bottom, you know, with Megadeth, you guys, Trivium, and In Flames. It was just an all-day just a music barrage.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this tour to finally happen. Again, we're all friends with the bands involved, so it's like going out with family and with a top notch musicians and bands and crews, and it's just set to be a well-run machine of of great music, and that to be part of that is a joy that I am afforded in this lifetime.
You know, going out on tour with the bands like Slayer, and even back when you guys toured with like a Metallica, you know, what do those bands kind of show you? Like when you see their day-to-day operations, do they like, oh, that's how you're supposed to do it? Or does it just reaffirm kind of what you guys are doing?
It's probably both. You know, anytime you're around people that have that much experience doing something that you're doing, it's wise to pay attention. And that's how you learn on the road anyway. You don't go, there's no school for learning how to tour. And we have done this our entire careers to keep our eyes on the other bands and what they're doing to learn how to do this, but also because we want to wipe the stage floor with them every night. it's very much a competition, but you know, we're not the only ones doing everything right.
Now I know that we consider, you know, a Metallica, Megadeth and a Slayer and all those bands kind of legacy bands at this point. Do you consider Lamb of God a legacy band yet?
No. I consider Lamb of God to be some really lucky dudes who get to live out their dreams and play music all over the world.
And when I had Chuck Billy on recently about their new album, you know, we talked about, you know, the air of Slayer ending kind of propelling their new album. You know, was that tour and the air around that tour any kind of put any more pressure on this album for you guys?
I would say no, only in that because we were trying to stop to write a record when Slayer came along and said, hey, you guys want to do a tour? And that went on for over a year.
Yeah.
So all it did was just, I don't know, we got more life experience to work with to create the album.
Going on those tours, all the Slayer tours, you guys seem to be, you know, along with Slayer for pretty much that entire ride. You know, what do you kind of take from all that, you know, being the band that got to do all of that?
It was an amazing seat to watch Slayer retire in top form. And it made me respect them even more that they were going out on their own terms and doing it incredibly well. Their production was amazing. Their stage performance was great. It was an honor to have a seat that close to watch that happen.
And speaking of just kind of bass playing, your bass playing in the new album, is there a track on the new album that you're most proud of that you, if you were to say, hey, you know, check out what I'm doing on this song or, you know, something going on that way?
I'm not one to really act like that, but kind of jokingly, I might say, hey, check out Checkmate. I slide all over that motherfucker.
You got your Gene Simmons school of bass sliding down?
Hell yeah. That was a fun track to put the slides in and work that out. And it's fun to play.
Yeah, so far the new album, the stuff I've heard off of it is fantastic. And as we kind of wind this down, I mean, I guess we've got, you know, the normal question here is, what are you going to do? You know, what are the plans for Lamb of God? But I guess we're kind of day by day at this point, right?
To say the least, in this business, it takes months of planning to get something going. So once the world is safe to go out in, I mean, there will be planning before that becomes a definite thing. But it is, in that sense, day to day is where is the world at? My plans is to be as positive as I can be, to not get caught up in all the negativity and all the garbage that's happening in the world, and try and be a positive force for change.
Well, on that note, man, we will end it. But man, thanks for taking the time today. I appreciate the few minutes that we got today. Hopefully we can do this again in the future and get a little bit more in depth.
And in person, man. Let's go for in person.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure the world's all right. Thank you very much, Josh. I appreciate your time too.
Blood.
Huge thank you to John Campbell for taking the time. Thank you guys for listening each and every week. Make sure you're subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sharing with your friends that you listen to the Talk To Me podcast each and every week. So until next Thursday, for the Talk To Me podcast, I've been Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you soon.